very strongly about the core of young players, talented young players that we have. You've seen the development of those guys and what our staff was able to do with a Xavier Rhodes, with Sharif Floyd, how Harrison Smith is, you know, even Anthony Barr, who we think is going to be a very unique talent. Now, if we can continue to add to those pieces that we have built in already, we're very excited about the direction of this team.
The voice of Rick Spielman, general manager, Minnesota Vikings, regarding his jigsaw puzzle, the Minnesota Vikings and the personnel that he's trying to land, and he's re-signing and trying to get the puzzle back together again. Some depth being added over yesterday with Matt Asiata and today with Tom Johnson and Joe Berger.
I like it.
For the offensive and defensive line depth, and two solid football players, three solid football players. And onward and upward, we continue.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting. They have made some, you know, some waves by saying that they were in contact with Mike Iupati. I don't know how serious that ever was, but it doesn't matter. He's with the Cardinals now. But they have a long ways to go. I think about six or seven different signings to put this team in a position to really make a push.
Yeah.
I mean, make a decent push. One of those would be huge if Adrian came back.
Yeah, for sure.
They found a backup quarterback, Sean Hill. To replace Matt Cassel and to give lend some guidance and some X's and O's to young Bridgewater, Ted Bridgewater.
Ted Bridgewater, he's all grown up. Our baby's all grown up.
Yeah, he is.
We talked about 10 things that mattered for the Minnesota Vikings coming into free agency here today. By the way, before we move on to that, I was reading from one of our trusted sources that we were on the Devin McCourty deal. The Vikings gave up once it got over $8 million. They said that was too rich for us, but they were in and trying.
And Culliver, too, right?
Culliver. He hasn't been signed yet, has he?
No, he's not, but yeah. The Vikings have shown interest in him as well.
Exactly.
So, anyway.
So, as of yesterday, we were talking about 10 things we thought the Minnesota Vikings should do heading into free agency. And according to this list of things, the Vikings have already scratched off four. As we move forward, it doesn't seem like, when you see the Seattle Seahawks making a trade for Jimmy Graham and the Miami Dolphins signing Ndamukong Suh and this and that team doing this and that, it seems like the Minnesota Vikings haven't really done much, but they have. They've done a bunch when it comes to the things that they need to do to maintain and then continue to move forward. That being, obviously, number one on the list yesterday was signing a backup quarterback. They did that today with Sean Hill, 2-year contract. A veteran leader that came to the Minnesota Vikings as an undrafted free agent. He started his career here, and since all the other teams like bringing players back that played here before, Torrey Hunter, Kevin Garnett, or Jordan Leopold, who's from here, Minnesota Vikings wanted to get on in the deal, and they brought Sean Hill back today.
Well, I like that. I think that, you know, I've actually had a chance to know Sean Hill a little bit and spend some time talking with him about his upbringing, and he's a tough guy. He's a gamer, and we saw that in the first game and really all season long last year with Sean Hill and the St. Louis Rams.
I like it.
When Bradford went down with the ACL again, Sean Hill came in, and actually those guys were in a lot of games. They were in a lot of football games because of Sean Hill and his ability to back up. So he really is the perfect backup quarterback. At the right age,
I couldn't agree more.
The right attitude,
right price,
and he's a gamer when you bring him in. The right price tag. So we got that done yesterday along with Matt Asiata.
Another part of our top 10 list of what the Minnesota Vikings should do in free agency was replenish that inside interior pass rush. And they did that today it was official today. They announced it a couple of days ago. 3-year contract, $7 million for Tom Johnson, who came in as an unrestricted free agent last year and had 6.5 sacks.
And so many close the calls, too. The pressures on the quarterback and just getting off on the football and really handling himself pretty well in the, you know, in the running game. But he was a surprise and a fresh breath of air when you didn't even know the guy. He was on the quarterback and 6.5 times. And I know I remember about 2 or 3 times he had him wrapped up and didn't get him on the ground before he let go of the football. But he's always there. He shows up in games.
Another very important thing, we thought Minnesota Vikings should re-sign Joe Berger. Just with all the injuries to the offensive line last year, he played a quality, extremely important role. Veteran leadership, he can play basically almost every position. His forte being obviously the inside, the center, and the guard positions. But re-signing him to a 2-year contract, very important. And so we also brought back Cullen Leffler, your guy, long snapper.
Long snapper.
And Matt Asiata, which is very important.
Berger, I think, is an important name that you brought up. I mean, when you think about it, when Fusco went down early in the season, Joe Berger had most of those reps after that. Then Charlie Johnson went down, and we had, I think it was Vlad
DeCoste,
and he was in there for a while, but Berger was the one that I think I was impressed with more, because every time you turn around, they're playing some really good defensive players, and one of them being Ndamukong Suh, and lined up right over Joe Berger. Well, you know what? He made some noise in the first game, Suh did, but the second game, not so much. And I think Berger did a nice job working with John Sullivan and offensive tackle Phil Lotholt and or Mike Harris.
Don't have a ton of time left, so sources say the Vikings are close on a deal with free agent linebacker Andrew Gacker, visiting Minnesota today, tomorrow and Thursday. If all goes well, he will sign. Never heard of the guy before in my life. You?
I have not. I really don't know anything about him. I'm guessing they've done the due diligence to find some more depth here at linebacker, a special team play perhaps. I think it's something that they have to weigh into heavily, and if he's on that list and he's part of this big scheme of things, which is finding core players to fill in the depth, they'll do the rest by way of the draft. You never know. They might make one more splash or so in the veteran free agency.
I think they have to. There are more things on our list that they, obviously we're not the end-all be-all, but the things that we think that the Minnesota Vikings should do, one of them being finding a starting left guard. They're still in on Clint Bowling, the former Cincinnati Bengal, played 4 years. He's 25, 310 pounds. They need to add a middle linebacker at some point. That's high on my list anyway.
Did you see who, maybe we can talk somebody out of retirement. You know who?
Ray Lewis?
Nope.
Who?
Patrick Willis retired.
Yes.
He retired. Let's go get him. Come on. He had season-ending surgery. And I don't know exactly what they were trying to fix, I think he just decided that enough is enough. But what a great, great player
Patrick
Willis was.
We also need to, this is according to everybody else, find that number one wide receiver, whether it be in the draft. Obviously, some of these can be addressed in the draft. But finding a left guard, starting left guard, middle linebacker, wide receiver, keep looking for an upgrade at strong safety. More cornerbacks needed. The Vikings have been on almost every single one of the cornerbacks that are out there on free agency. Find a left end for D-line rotation. There might be a Michael Johnson who signed with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers last year. Adrian Claiborne, also the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. There's Selvey was a defensive end for the Dallas Cowboys. They've all been contacted by the Minnesota Vikings. It takes some time. Also look for a more experienced swing tackle. I mean, we re-signed Mike Harris. He's a young guy. He's 25 years old. Came from the San Diego Chargers last year. But we need a guy that can back up Matt Khalil.
And there's no question if Matt's going to take a slide again and not rebound and get back to where he was at one point, that rookie year especially, then we're going to have to do something quick, because Bridgewater needs to grow and he needs to know and understand that he's got protection from the backside. And just when Michael Orr was signed back to the Titans, that kind of takes care of that whole thought process. But we want to keep Teddy up and running as long as we possibly can, whatever that takes. That's what they have to address, is that offensive line.
Don't want to turn him into a David Carr.
That is for sure.
Number one overall draft pick to the Houston Texans, the first draft pick in their franchise's history. Looked like he was the real deal, but then was sacked, I want to say, 75 times, on average 75 times a year.
That's right.
His brother, though, you were high on, Derek Carr, drafted by the Oakland Raiders in the second round, right?
I think he was.
Second round last year.
And played well.
He had similar numbers. He had more of an up-and-down season than Teddy Bridgewater did, but he had similar numbers at the end of the day as Teddy Bridgewater. He's got an arm, man. I like watching him, too. That Oakland Raiders team. It's not the old Oakland Raiders team of Al Davis, as Al Davis was going senile. I think they might be building something there. Interesting to watch.
They might very much. I played with Jack Del Rio for a long time. We can talk about that. Mike Tice would be the offensive line coach as well. We're going to come back and talk with another favorite of ours, Jim Rich. He joins us at 5:15 each day right here at Radioactive Sports. Let's see what he's got on the docket right after this.
Radioactive Sports in the afternoon on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
When you're playing against teams like this, you have to be smart in how you manage the puck, especially through the neutral zone. And if we're trying to skate the puck through them tonight, you know, shift after shift, then it's going to be a difficult and frustrating night. The bottom line is they protect the middle of the ice very well, and we have to have a workmanlike attitude in how we try to create offense tonight. Definitely have some respect for how they're defending right now.
Mike Yo.
Yo Diggity.
Head coach, Minnesota Wild, talking about what they plan to do and how they plan to go about doing it in their tonight's game against the New Jersey Devils over here at the Excel Center.
We also have tickets to give away, by the way. Tickets to give away, by the way. My poet and I didn't know it. Anyway, that's what my mom and grandma always used to say. You got to love your moms and your grandmas
out there.
Very
clever. It's very clever.
Yeah, two pairs of tickets thanks to Tom Reed. We're at Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub. Come on down. Sign up for it. You say you heard it on the radio. Come down here and sign up. We'll draw it at draw the winners at 6:30. Two unbelievably great seats. And two other really good seats, but two unbelievable seats. So come on down and get your chance by signing up here at Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub with 105 The Ticket, thanks to our good friend Tom Reed. The Minnesota Vikings, obviously, making moves in free agency. It opened as of 3 o'clock this afternoon. The biggest thing from our friend Chris Thomason from the Pioneer Press lately is Vikings are close on a deal with free agent linebacker Andrew Gackler from the San Diego Chargers. Started 5 games last year, started 8 games during his entire career of 4 years at the San Diego Chargers. What do you think they'd be bringing Andrew Gackler in here for? Because it seems to me that we have a pretty decent amount of depth when it comes to the linebacking position, but when it comes to the starting linebackers, obviously we love Chad Greenway, we love Anthony Barr. Still don't know if Chad Greenway is coming back, whether he's going to restructure his deal, what's going to happen there. You would have thought that if they were going to let him go, they probably would have already done that. I know that the team wants him to come back, but we need a starting middle linebacker. And aren't you happy with the depth that we have? I mean, a lot of young guys, Adi Cole and Jared Hodges.
I thought he filled in quite nicely when Chad Greenway went down. We don't know what's going to happen with Greenway yet. Jasper Brinkley, we don't know anything yet. Really, the only thing we have nailed down is Barr, and thank God we know where he's coming, where he is, and that means he's coming back too. He was our first rounder last year. They'll be looking at everything. I think they'll be shopping around, and whether they are feigning the interest for other positions, I think that linebacker is certainly something that they're talking about when they address Gackler. I believe his name is.
Yeah, if they're looking to bring Gackler in, it would be maybe a special teams and some depth, I would think, right?
I would think depth, and again, a guy like this could be anything. Literally, just depth on the squad right now, another extra body to bring into camp, and you never know. You give a guy a chance, and you never know what's going to happen. If this guy has been sitting behind a really good player for a long time, and it's finally his chance to move in free agency, and he does, then this can be his chance, is to come in here. You know, we'll sign you for X number of dollars, and you prove it to us that you deserve more and that you can be a starter here. This can be a golden opportunity for a guy to make a move and start another career.
How lucky are we as Minnesota Vikings fans, and you're a former player, obviously, what's going on there at Winter Park and in our beloved purple. But when you're watching these teams, I see up here on the board, we're watching the NFL Network here, by the way, and you look at the Cleveland Browns, who have Johnny Manziel and then what's his toes?
Hoyer?
Quarterback. No, Hoyer went to the Texans.
Okay.
The guy that played with the Chicago Bears.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry, McCown, yeah.
So they have Manziel and McCown. And then you have the Houston Texans, who signed Ryan Hoyer and re-signed Ryan Mallett.
Mallett's back.
And then you have the Tennessee Titans that popped up here on NFLnetwork.com, retiring after 4 NFL seasons.
Lots of things going on. I mean, we have Patrick Phillips up here right now, retiring.
No, but with all these quarterbacks, and you saw what the Philadelphia Eagles and St. Louis Rams did. They swapped Sam Bradford for Nick Foles and a couple of draft picks. Aren't you just so lucky? Aren't you just so happy as a Minnesota Vikings fan to not have to worry about that one position that means so much? And you've got these other teams that, okay, the Houston Texans look like a pretty good team, but they're going to have Ryan Mallett and Brian Hoyer fight it out for the starting quarterback position. We don't have to worry about that anymore.
We don't have to worry about it unless that word pops up is injury. I mean, we saw how quickly we were down to 1, 2, 3 quarterbacks last year. It doesn't take long to be into your third quarterback or third at any position in this game. And, you know, we were pretty set with a 1-2 punch last year. It was a nice deal that we had going into the season with Matt Castle starting and with Teddy Bridgewater coming in and watching him for a while during training camp. Well, Castle gone quick right at the beginning of the season, and Bridgewater amazingly comes in and does the job that we could only hope he was going to do someday, but not his rookie year. He did it last year, and now it's onward and upward for a guy like that. So you're right. We don't have to worry about that franchise guy as much. I mean, there's a long ways to go for Teddy. But I think he's on the right track. And we've got him backed up now with Sean Hill, and I like that.
I mean, absolutely, me too. Another veteran guy, 35-year-old, a two-year contract, comes back full circle. We signed him as an undrafted free agent back when he first started his career in the NFL. And so it's nice to get somebody back in there that's mentally stable, that can help Teddy Bridgewater continue to progress in what he's doing. Obviously, the big story now, Adrian Peterson. Let's transition to this. He was in New York City last night. Yesterday, flew coach. By the way, there are pictures of him flying coach. On a commercial airline.
That's Teddy.
Met with both Wilfs, Mark and Ziggy. Also met with general manager Rick Spielman. You and I disagree on what we see the end game for this Adrian Peterson situation. But what do you think they talked about yesterday? Why have a second meeting? And what do you think it means going forward for Adrian Peterson and the Minnesota Vikings?
I mean, it's just a matter of... It's a matter of Adrian going out there and getting the story straight from the Wilfs and from Spielman, is that this is what we want to do. We want to have you back, and these are our terms, and this is how much money. I mean, is that going to be... I mean, we want to move now. Free agency is now. We can talk to you and deal with you right now. What's it going to be? Are you wanting to come back? Are you waiting for the market to sort of reset itself before you try to come back in? They need answers. This is to try to finalize, I think, with Adrian Peterson, what he wants out of this from the Vikings. Or does he just flat out want to be traded, and he wants to be over with, and he wants him to trade him somehow so he's out to restructure his deal?
Sure, but at the same time, why fly him out there to New York to meet him face-to-face? I understand that the Wilfs, you know, they're the billionaires, they're the owners of the situation, and so they're probably not going to fly to Adrian Peterson's house in Houston, but you can figure out by the four-hour meeting that Mike Zimmer and Rick Spielman had last week at his house in Houston by what's happening. You can do some things over the phone. Why would Adrian Peterson agree to fly out to meet the Wilfs in New York? And why would they want him to fly out? I guess I can see why the Wilfs want him to fly out. But why would he fly out if he's ready to leave? He wants to leave. And just say, no, I'm done with this deal. We can do this over the phone. I want out of here. Because I'm uneasy about coming back because of Kevin Warren and this and that and the long list of things that he said in all these articles. Why did he agree to go out to New York City?
He played hardball with the Wilfs and with Spielman and Zimmer, rather, down in Houston at his place, and told him how uninterested he was and wanted to be traded, basically, and that he'd restructure his contract. And he had four or five teams on his list of teams he'd like to go to if being traded. And the Vikings said, we've got to call him out here because he wants to go. He definitely, this is our way of calling him into us, into our office, and trying to convince him to come back to the Vikings. Here's what we'll do.
Sure, but the heart of my question is if he's dead set on not coming back, why would he go out there?
Well, he's not dead set. He's not money. They're hoping they can buy him back or do something with the contract that would be more appealing to him than maybe what they told him in Houston at his place. And now fly out. We want to get this done. We want to get it on paper. We don't want you to go somewhere else and talk to anybody. And
well, he can't. He's under contract, and that's why. Why bet against yourself? He's already under contract for $12.75 million. No, he's under contract.
But he can. But his people, his agent, can talk to somebody else, right?
I don't think so. Why would they be able to? And the Vikings haven't allowed that.
As far as I know, they can talk with anyone they want right now in regard to what they want to do in a trade with the Vikings or to set something up with one of those five teams that he's talking about.
But the Vikings haven't okayed that yet. So he's under contract. There's no reason to bid against yourself. You tell Adrian Peterson, hey, brother, you're coming back here. You signed a contract. $12.75 million. We owe your rights for three more years, and if we decide to cut you, then that's what we do because that's the business of football. But you're under contract. You're coming. We want you back. You're coming back next year.
They can do that. They can definitely make him come back. They can make him come back and play for it. And they can also have discussions with four or five of those teams that he said he wanted to talk to. And we've already heard that the Arizona Cardinals are making room and this and that. I mean, those kinds of conversations wouldn't be coming up if there wasn't some sort of communication. I think the only thing that he's doing out in New York right now is a last sort of effort by the Wilfs and with Spielman to convince him to come back to the Vikings, and for what terms that they felt that they could do because of what happened last year, because of the money, because he sat out a whole year, is that we're going to have to re-talk this whole thing about the last 3 years of your contract. That, to me, is the only reason and the only thing he can talk about other than, you know, trade. And then that has to be restructured in such a way where they can work it out there and say, okay, this is how we're going to try and do it. But if we can't get anyone for what we want, you're coming back.
Which I don't think they can. I mean, John Clayton, who's the end-all be-all when it comes to the NFL on SportsCenter, said the best case scenario is a fourth-round draft pick. There's no way they're going to be able to get anything of significant value for Adrian Peterson. And so I think it's too early to say Adrian Peterson, you know, will do whatever it takes. Listen here, $12.75 million for next year, one of the highest paid running backs. We paid you $8.5 million last year to sit on your hiney while you were on the commissioner's exempt list going through this this court case involving the four-year-old son that you hit with a switch and caused to bleed on his testicles. Remember all that? Remember when corporate sponsorships were jumping the bandwagon? Remember when we were on the air from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. with people calling just absolutely outraged with the Minnesota Vikings and their audacity to let him back on the field and play after that, after they told him he couldn't play in week two against the New England Patriots? I mean, come on, Adrian Peterson, you're not the victim. You're going to play for the Minnesota Vikings. $12.75 million. There's going to be no restructuring because that was originally what was going to happen. They were going to ask him to restructure. There's no restructuring. $12.75 million. I don't care if you like it or not. I don't care if you're uneasy. You're under contract. We want you back, and you're going to play here. Done deal. I don't need you to fly to New York. I don't need to fly to Houston. This is the way it goes. And in big boy world, this is how we do business. Athletes always say, you know, it's a business when you're talking about free agency or contract. Yeah, it's a business.
And it sure is.
And you're under contract. You're going to come back for this business, and you're going to run your butt off for the Minnesota Vikings because guess what? We own you, and they do. They own it. They own his contract.
No question. There's no question about that. But the only thing to answer right now is what's it going to take? Because the Vikings don't want to – I don't know. A lot of people think that they want to give him the full amount for this year for sure. There's talk about the last two remaining years. I think that all of us knew that he probably wasn't going to get to make the last 3 years of this contract before last season began. It was lucky that he was going to get what he got going into last season as well. I think they really want to cut him back, and I told Jim Rich and somebody else who thought that they were going to pay him the full amount. I just don't think they're going to pay him the full amount. I don't think they want to pay him the full amount after last year. And I think it'd be tough to get that kind of money, regardless of who he is at his age, at his position. But
somebody will give him the kind of money that LeSean McCoy got or Marshawn Lynch got over the weekend, where it averages $16 to $20 million for the first year, and then the second and third years are cut way back. So, Adrian, either you get your guaranteed money now, or you get it. You don't get guaranteed money later. I mean, which is it going to be? You take the guaranteed money. There's no way the Minnesota Vikings, if they agree and they go into this, are going to go before the regular season. I think we're going to cut you. There's no way that's going to happen.
I can't see it, but just imagine, though. Imagine the kind of money you could cut free by doing so. I mean, you essentially only give up the trade value of a fourth-round draft choice because that's the only other way you're going to get him traded. And so what do you sacrifice? Essentially nothing. But you can clear up some money in the books from what he would have made by signing cheaper players, obviously.
Yeah, sure, but then that's what the Minnesota Vikings are doing anyways. It's not like they're out there making big splashes with your guy Mike Iupati or signing Ndamukong Suh. Or, I mean, they're bringing in guys named Andrew Gackler.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If you cut Adrian's contract, he has a big salary cap number, but essentially the money that they wouldn't pay him this year, the $12.75 million, would be the kind of money that you can go out and get several players like you're talking about.
But
they're already
off the board, and the Minnesota Vikings aren't out. I mean, you've heard Mike Zimmer and Rick Spielman say it. They're not out to sign big money free agents. And they already have $25 million to spend. It's not like they're hurting for cash as it is anyway.
Look, I understand, but that just lends itself to what I'm saying. It's the money that you could take from that $12.75 million that was freed up to sign two or three different kinds of players, three guys, and making good money still at that, like $3.5 to $4 million a piece to bring in three other guys, workmanlike, second tier, veteran free guessing. Dealt with a player of this magnitude, of this status, of Adrian Peterson, and coming down to one day. This is the first time I've ever seen a case like this. It's so unique in who it is being dealt with and how much money is being involved. And really, we're talking about essentially the greatest running back in the game today. Where is he going to play?
Yeah.
So it's an amazing thing to try and weigh into. And I think it's complicated. It's very complicated. No, that's absolutely why he's out there. They have to have answers, and they don't want to do it by phone call. They want him out there in front of them where they can get some things done and get it nailed down.
Yeah. My question's still necessarily, you can't answer it. It's one of those hypothetical things.
Yeah,
but why is, if Adrian Peterson's dead set on leaving, why did he fly out there? It just doesn't make any sense to me at all. We're going to find out this week, I would think, whether he's going to be traded or, because if he isn't traded, obviously he's going to be with the Minnesota Vikings, but his money's being changed, his money's changing hands and players are changing teams and all the big free agent money's being spent. They got to figure out what they're going to do with Adrian Peterson, so we'll obviously be all over that. The Minnesota Vikings haven't made any updates, any moves. Just to rehash, they signed Sean Hill, 2-year contract, 35-year-old backup quarterback, re-signed Tom Johnson, defensive tackle, 6.5 sacks last year, re-signed Mike Harris, who's a swing tackle, re-signed Matt Asiata, a 1-year incentive laden deal. Joe Berger, they re-signed to a 2-year contract today. He's the veteran depth and interior lineman, both guard spots and the center spot. And I think that's all for who we've signed. Colin Loeffler, I think we signed.
Berger and Loeffler.
Another 1-year contract. That's all we've signed so far. Obviously, the Vikings in on linebackers and cornerbacks. They're still talking to Clint Bowling, left guard from the Cincinnati Bengals. We're scouring all of our sources, and that's really what
Culliver is another option.
Chris Culliver is right.
He's another one that we could look into outside of Trey Waynes, that is, who will come by way of drafts. The 11th choice taken in the draft this year by the Minnesota Vikings. Let's hope so anyway. But we're going to take a little break and come back. Should also remind you that we're at Tom Reed's down in St. Paul, where the Wild will take on the Devils tonight here in just an hour or two. And you know what? Brought to you by Rogoshevsky and Atkins. Before you blow, call Rogo. Come on back, everybody. We're going to delve into to maybe some more of this conversation and things that are happening right before us on the screen right now with free agency in the National Football League. And you can call us if you'd like to delve into this thing. What is Adrian Peterson doing out there anyway? Why did he fly out there? That's Ben's question. Maybe you can help answer that. 651-989-9105. 651-989-9105. Come on back. NFL free agency. We are, of course, Radioactive Sports, and joined by Ben Holson. I am the actual true superstar. That, in my own mind, anyway. Just to go along with it. It works for me. We are at Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub, where the Minnesota Wild will be playing a big match tonight against the New Jersey Devils. Game starting in about an hour and a half, or so. We've been talking about veteran free agency in the NFL. 2015, it has been nothing short of amazing to see some of the players that have not only been picked up as free agents by new clubs, but also big name players being traded. I mean, just flat out traded, and it's an amazing thing to see. I haven't remembered too many times where players like Jimmy Graham traded today. Of all, I find that just amazing. Ndamukong Suh, he's playing with Miami now. Now, he was a veteran free agent, but Flo Nada being picked up by the Detroit Lions. I mean, those are big names moving around.
Jeez.
I mean, it's going to continue to drop. I mean, Sam Bradford, there's a possible trade. It's very close to being done with the Eagles right now for Nick Foles and some compensation by way of draft with the Eagles. But it's just one thing after. I mean, Frank Gore, he decides he's thinking about the Eagles, and then not so much when he finds out the practice is long and rigorous, and he goes to the Indianapolis Colts and decides he'll take his chances with Andrew Luck and company. So it's free agency is a pretty cool thing when you think about it. It never used to be this way. Years ago, before the CBA and the strike in 1987 that was finalized by Judge Doty in 1993, you had to stay where the team had you. And, I mean, they keep you for as long as they wanted. And if they didn't want you anymore, then you were done playing football and you had a chance to go out and maybe, have a team pick you up. And that was the only way you were going to change addresses. But this is different now. You get to go shopping after a contract is over with. So when you're a vested veteran free agent, what we're finding here are unrestricted veteran free agents that get a chance to move and shop around and be catered to. And making top dollar, Ndamukong Suh, $114 million 6 years. So It's just incredible the kind of money they're throwing around now.
Highest paid defensive player in NFL history. Just some updates on what's happening around the Vikings with some of the players that they're targeting or some of the players that used to be members of the team. They had hoped to get a visit from free agent cornerback Bryce McCain. He's currently now visiting an unnamed team, and he's taking a physical with that team. Report out of the Bills-Vikings trade is that Matt Castle, the trade is contingent on a physical. Castle has not yet reported for that physical, which makes it seem a little odd to the fact that there isn't an update today saying the trade has been official. That was in the works for a couple of days now. The Vikings sending Matt Castle and a sixth-round draft pick to the Buffalo Bills for a fifth and seventh-round draft pick. Castle says that he will soon be in Buffalo and take a physical. Let's see here. Castle deal still on track, but the lack of an official announcement is odd. That from Ben Gessling from SportsCenter. Ben Gessling also said he had a brief phone call with Adrian Peterson. Said he wanted to keep the details of the Wolves meeting private. Said he's waiting to see what happens. So that's obviously the latest update on the Minnesota Vikings. Not really any big signings today. Sean Hill, two-year deal, backup quarterback. Two-year deal for Joe Berger, inside offensive lineman, veteran depth. Same goes for Tom Johnson. He got a three-year, $7 million contract. Matt Asiata coming back in a one-year incentive-laden deal. Colin Leffler, long snapper, one-year deal. Bunch of things to give away, though. We're going to talk to Master Tesfatsian from the Star Tribune, the Vikings beat writer, coming up next, see if he has anything for us. But caller 7 and 8 right now. Caller 7 at 651-989-9105. We'll win a four-pack of tickets to see the Running Aces March Comedy Show this Saturday with national headliner Michael Thorne. Caller 7 at 651-989-9105. Then caller 8 at 651-989-9105. We'll win a pair of tickets to the WCHA Final Five Championship game. That is a week from Saturday, March 21st, at the XL Energy Center. So caller 8 for that at 651-989-9105. Good luck. Lots of goodies here at Sports Radio 105, the ticket. Plus, when you come down here at Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub, where the Superstar and I are until 7 o'clock, until the Wild face off against the New Jersey Devils tonight, we're giving away some really awesome tickets. I wanted to say sweet tickets, but they're not in the sweet, but they're in the lower bowl. Come down, sign up, say you heard the Superstar on the radio. Maybe have him sign an autograph for two. People are having you do that all afternoon, by the way. You're some kind of celebrity here.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you know this or not. But as far as I'm concerned, I'm kind of popular. Apparently, I don't know. That's what they tell me anyway. I've got dementia. I wouldn't know.
But come on down. Get signed up for these Minnesota Wild tickets. They're free to you. Just come down, have a beer or two, hang out with us, have some fun until 7 o'clock. Lots happening today, and thank you for listening to the Radioactive Sports, because this is a busy day, man. I mean, we've had some busy days, whether it be Adrian Peterson.
Very busy.
And Torrey Hunter coming back. Kevin Garnett coming back, trades, this and that. Minnesota Twins making moves. But today, I mean, wall-to-wall Minnesota Viking free agency news. Minnesota Wild making some things happen. Busy week, too, with the Minnesota Gopher men's basketball team in the Big Ten tournament. All the games, of course, right here on Sports Radio 105, the ticket. The Timberwolves play tomorrow night. I can just go on and on about things that are happening around town. It's a good place to be. Look outside. It's bright and beautiful. 60 degrees. Who needs spring training in Florida when you got St. Paul?
You do. I mean, it's all right here. It's waiting for them to get back. Let's take a little break. You've got Master Tesfatsian will be up next. But I should also tell you that this is also being brought to you by Rogoszewski, Rogoszewski, and Atkins. Before you blow, call Rogo. Also, the NFL. Ooh, Rams confirmed Nick Foles acquisition for Sam Bradford and undisclosed draft compensation. They have now confirmed that. So that is done, apparently.
Houston linebacker Brooks Reed, who got a call from the Vikings, has signed with the Atlanta Falcons, by the way.
Nicely done. Let's take a little break and be right back with Master T after the break.
Back to Superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson on 105 The Ticket.
I don't believe in going out and spending a huge amount of money in free agency unless it's something unique. But we found Tom Johnson last year later in the UFA market and did a great job for us coming in as a nickel pass rusher. So we'll monitor the process and then also build in what, you know, which I think is going to be a pretty good group of defensive linemen in this draft as well.
Yeah, the voice of Rick Spielman laying back and playing his cards and settling some contracts here locally with some of the guys he wanted to get re-signed, and that taking place first, and I guess onward and upward from here, depending on what they finally decide is still out there and available and something to their liking. But first and foremost are the guys that are still here in town. Berger, Harris, we've mentioned, you know, everyone, Tom Johnson and Sean Hill, and there are a lot of things that have been being thrown around now. Some rumors, some buzz right now regarding former quarterback with the Minnesota Vikings, Matt Cassel. People just wanting answers. It just seems a little odd, a little screwy, is how I think I read it. Is that something's going on with Cassel in Buffalo? He's not there yet. He hasn't taken a team physical. It's not confirmed yet whether he signed yet or not. And was it Chris Thomason that tried to call his agent, and he was quickly hung up on?
I wonder what that means.
I really don't know what that is.
Stop being such silliness is probably what probably what the agent said. But
maybe
we're joined now by Star Tribune Minnesota Vikings beat writer, the real deal, Master Tesfatsian. Master, crazy day in the NFL. Not so crazy necessarily when it comes to our Minnesota Vikings. But what have you heard, and what's the latest when it comes to the NFL and the Minnesota Vikings and free agency today?
Yeah, it's been fairly quiet. It seems like Rick Spielman and Mike Zimmer stuck to their word and kind of laid low as far as the top prize prospects go. You know, they had their hands in some of the guys that were rumored, especially trying to bulk up in the secondary, but some of the prices just went a little too high for them, and they just ended up bowing out before, you know, the price went out for a guy like McCourty and such. They ended up bowing out before the price even got to the point where it ended up being where McCourty ended up re-signing with the Patriots. So what we've seen right now is the Vikings handling their business and taking care of some of the guys that they wanted to bring back. As you mentioned, Joe Berger signing a two-year deal. Matt Asiata signing an incentive-laced one-year deal. He was a restricted free agent. Tom Johnson a few days ago. And also bringing in Sean Hill, who probably was the best fit here as far as a backup quarterback option goes. You save a little bit of cash as you await the news of Matt Cassel's and you know trade to Buffalo whenever that does happen, as they're still waiting a physical. But so far, like you said, it's been pretty quiet. But they have, in a sense, also addressed some of the depth needs that they needed by re-signing some of these guys. It may not be the names that a lot of fans were hoping for or, you know, putting on their wish list, but in essence, the Vikings are still taking care of some of the business that they need to do this offseason.
Master T, the superstar here, is there anything to this Matt Cassel thing? I mean, it doesn't seem that screwy, but it is different. I'll say that is that he has not reported yet with the Buffalo Bills for a physical on the opening day to report. I guess if you're one of these people that are being dealt off or you know, working a deal with, today was the day to kind of get signed and sealed and physicals taken, and he has not shown up yet. You know, when they tried to contact him, he was hung up on. One of the reporters was hung up on. And do you make anything out of that?
I mean, if there was something to it, I'm sure the agent would have came out and said something about it. The fact that he hung up, I mean, it just pretty much just shows the agent has other things to deal with. I mean, the last thing he's probably worried about is his deal.
I'm sure.
Where all pretty much everyone's just waiting for is his physical. I don't really think there's much to it. Though it is strange that, you know, at the time when, you know, all these trades are being announced right now that there still hasn't been a Cassel trade announced yet officially. But, I mean, who knows what's going on with Cassel right now. I mean, he could be dealing with, you know, whatever. It could be travel issues. It could be something, you know, family-wise. He just couldn't make it out today or make it out to Buffalo. So, I honestly don't think it's that big of a deal. I think the deal will get done eventually.
Master Tesfatsian, the Vikings beat writer for the Minnesota Vikings on the first day of free agency. The other big story of the day, obviously, Adrian Peterson met with the Wilfs and Rick Spielman yesterday, last night in New York. What do you take of that meeting after having a four-hour meeting with Mike Zimmer and Rick Spielman the week before? Why have a second meeting if Adrian Peterson's dead set on not being a Minnesota Viking?
Eventually he was going to have to talk to the Wilfs, and it doesn't seem necessarily that he doesn't want to be with the Minnesota Vikings. It's just that he's still kind of weighing the options, and that a second meeting with the Wilfs further proves that, you know, he's trying to make sure that he meets with everyone as far as the front office and all the people who are making the decisions before, you know, the Vikings either move on or before Peterson even moves on. So it just seems like it's still a work in progress as far as what the Vikings end up ultimately deciding to do. It doesn't seem like there's a decision even made yet as far as which route they'll take or which route even Peterson will take. There's still questions that Peterson still has as far as if he does return, you know, with the organization that he still wants to clear out before he ends up ultimately, you know, deciding what he wants to do.
Master, the superstar and I have been going back and forth, whether it be this afternoon or the last couple of weeks, about what everything means and we're trying to read between the lines between Adrian Peterson when he releases stories at USA Today or ESPN or CBS Sports or having a meeting with this person or that person. He hugged this person too long. What do you think it means that the Wilfs didn't send the private plane to bring Adrian Peterson to New York City and they made him fly coach? Well, they didn't make him fly coach, but he decided to fly coach with the rest of the Minions.
Mike Zimmer and Rick Spielman flew coach, too, going down to Houston to go visit with Adrian Peterson. I really don't think that's a huge deal as far as, you know, the coach situation goes. I really think it's just a very small ripple, if anything. Even if it's even that, I think that would be probably an exaggeration. I mean, there's greater concerns that they have to settle through. That's been going on for the last, 6 to 9 months here now. That flying out coached or with the Wilfs plane, I don't think necessarily would be a make or break. Just like you mentioned, a lot of people were overanalyzing the hugs and all that stuff that the Houston affiliates ended up capturing in front of Adrian's house in the Woodlands. All that stuff, I wouldn't really read too much into all that. If anything, it just for a Vikings fan, you can probably be cautiously optimistic that he's still meeting with the Wilfs and still trying to figure things out, because a lot of people kind of expected that it would happen, you know, right as the start of free agency. If the decision was made ultimately that Peterson was done with the Vikings and ready to move on to another NFL team, that type of trade would already happen at this point, when teams still had all this free agency money.
It would just appear, though, to us, Master T, that we couldn't get anything for Adrian much more than maybe a fourth-round draft choice is what is being speculated. I would guess that it would be more than that, actually. For someone just off the street to say the most they're going to get for a guy like Adrian Peterson is a fourth-rounder is a fairly bold statement. When they're willing to do almost anything in this day and age to land a player like Adrian Peterson. So I'm not really sure if I buy into that. There's a part of me that says they are trying to make something happen for him to move on. Well, when you sign Matt Asiata, when you say and you release sort of a statement that you're interested in Ridley, Stephen Ridley from the New England Patriots, and then you have him fly out, Adrian Peterson fly out to New York to talk with the owners and Spielman, you're saying something. You're posturing for something. And for me, it means there's change of scenery for Adrian Peterson.
Even the Asiata deal, I didn't even necessarily look at that as far as reading into what happens with Peterson. Mm-hmm. Regardless of bringing back Asiata, it made a lot of sense for the Vikings to bring him back. There's a lot of incentives in his deal. It's a one-year deal. He was a restricted free agent. He's a good special teams guy, a good all-around type of backup type of running back that the Vikings can have on their roster. And I think only $100,000, I saw a report, is only guaranteed from the deal. So it's not like they're risking much by bringing Asiata back. If anything, they're just continuing to uphold the depth that they want to have at that position. And whether Peterson comes back or not, you're still going to have Asiata and McKinnon, and you can draft another running back in the NFL draft. So I wouldn't necessarily read too much into the Asiata deal as far as what kind of correlation they might have to what Peterson does or what he doesn't do. The biggest thing for me, like I said, was just that with all these deals and all these trades we saw that were happening behind the scenes, the one trade that didn't happen that everyone's kind of been anticipating was the Peterson deal. And you're looking at some of these places that, you know, people are speculating where he can go. Frank Gore is now going to Indianapolis. You're seeing a lot of other teams filling in all these running back situations. Perhaps the only one that still makes sense is probably the Cardinals. And, you know, who knows what kind of move they might make here, in these next few days here in free agency. So that was just the one surprising move out of all the crazy things that we've seen all day that did not happen.
It's because he's staying here, boys. He's staying.
I don't know. You know what? Whatever, I would be surprised if he stayed. I really would. I'm not really saying it's the Asiata deal. I'm thinking that it's the combination of several things, being Ridley, if they were serious about him and bringing him in, as well as Asiata. It's going to take two men to fill in for Adrian Peterson, the way I see it anyway, and McKinnon as well. But to have a stable of backs in here is probably what it's going to take to man up and run a whole season without AP here. That's why I thought it was sort of all about posturing for that and then having him fly out to let him know that their intentions are to replace him. I don't know.
But Stephen Ridley,
a quagmire.
Coming off an ACL-MCL that you told me earlier today that I didn't know it was that bad.
Yeah.
He's not Adrian Peterson.
No one is.
No, but I'm saying, especially when it comes to coming back from an injury like that, is he even going to be ready to play coming up in this season?
Yeah, he injured sixth game into the season, so I think he would have plenty of time to come back. The way they're doing knees now in this day and age, Peterson injured his at the last game of the year, and he came back and had the big rushing year. I mean, that's ridiculous. But no, Ridley, he had his blown it after six games, and so he's had a long, long time to, all, you know, way longer than Adrian Peterson. I think that he would be back, and no, he is not Adrian Peterson either. I wasn't insinuating that, but it's going to take a running back committee, running by committee, to get the job done. Master T, thank you for your time, though, sir.
Thank you, sir.
I appreciate it, guys.
Master Tesfatsian,
one of my favorites.
One of our favorite guys. You are correct on that one. Next up, we have one of the 105, the Ticket. They call themselves Cold Omaha. We have Brandon Warren in to talk about some of the sleepers that are coming out of training camp down there in Fort Myers. And I should also remind you that we're down here at Tom Reed's Live. Come on down and join us down here and have some fun. The crowd is picking up. Going into the Wild game versus the Devils tonight. Brought to you by Rogoszewski and Atkins. Come on back. We've got Brandon Warren with Cold Omaha.